Okay, you've already had your message for the day. We can all go home now. Okay. You know, we do. And this ties in wonderfully, thank you, ladies, to the book of Ephesians, because we look at the theme of the book of Ephesians as being the glory of the church. We are God's glory today. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believeth him, for what? Should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You know, never give up, never give up on people. So by the grace of God, so are we. It's amazing how God chose me, chose you today from this world. And yet we responded in love because God is love. And so looking at what we had looked at here this past week, we were looking at a prayer for the church. And you know what? God answers prayers. And I'm hoping that God is answering your prayer and my prayer today. And that our prayers are essential. You know, we just prayed for Chuck this past week. God is fastly, if I could use that in a correct English term, very fast. And he's been healing Chuck. And we need to continue to pray for him and also for Sue and for others here as well. We all need the Lord, yes, in church as well as, and people outside of church need the Lord too. And I'm very thankful for the grace that God has given us here today and the Bible. And we also we're walking by faith. So we look to here, going back a little background in chapter number one, we're looking at our spiritual possession in Christ. We also look to here in chapters two and three as our spiritual position in Christ. So we have that possession as done as in earth as it is in heaven, and as well as we have that position, our spiritual position. And now, going on here, we're looking at a prayer for the church. We just ended with that. We're going to continue with today's message, is a walk worthy of the Lord. We're going to look at here, I don't talk a lot about the Greek or the Hebrew unless it's very important, but you're looking at a transition, continuing here as we look here. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And Paul is saying here, like he did in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he was a prisoner of the Lord. And I pray by God's grace that our adversary does not have us in a prison right now or in a cage. We can rattle that chain and get us all upset and break our fellowship, and we despond and we become despaired in this life because God has so much for us. I almost tipped the pulpit over. I guess I must mean it here. Never done that before, and I hope I never do. But, you know, God wants us to have the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that gives us life more abundantly, and that people can see the Lord. People can understand that he is the open door to life eternal. In and out of ourselves. Door works both ways, right? It swings the door. It's open and shut. Okay? So, looking along here, we see, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He says, interestingly, beseech you. Now, that word beseech means that I want to walk right alongside of you. I want to walk right alongside of you because you're important to me today. You know, we have people today, we walk beside with all the time. We walk and we talk with them and we love them. We get to know them. But, you know, it has the idea, I beg you, I beseech you, let me walk alongside of you. Let me walk through life's narrow way. And there are many places today that are broad that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way through Christ. And don't let anybody ever today to accuse you and say, you're so narrow-minded. That's an accusation. You know where that's coming from. But you have a conviction from God, and you need to walk with the Lord. And I hope our walk, it says this here, a walk that's worthy. Chapter 4, verse 1, and that you walk worthily of the calling which you were called. Now, Each one of us today has a calling, and whatever that is between you and the Lord. And, you know, we're going to be looking at next week our gifts and the Holy Spirit and how to use those gifts and how to give glory to God. And actually, you know, there's a big difference between a spiritual gift and somebody who is naturally born with something, okay? And there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and what naturally you are born to do. And so it says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy. That has the idea of our daily conduct. You know, today there's so many things going on in this world that are not particularly good. And so people need Jesus Christ. It says here to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Now, this is the calling that he is saying here. This is your duty. This is your action. This is what you need to do. So starting off here, we see here with all lowliness. That means to be humble. You know, it's a tough thing to go ahead and to be humble today, especially when there's a lot of pride and there's people who, and we have to watch ourselves as well, people think they're better than we are, or they can do things better than we can, or they will hurt us by telling us, no, get out of my way. I can do a better job. I don't need you. Thank you. Ever had that happen to you before? Yes, that hurts. And yet all you want to do is give it a try. Give it your best shot. But don't ever give up. Don't give up. Let God give you the boldness. Humble yourself before the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's not always being easy to apologize, to begin over, to admit an error, to be unselfish, to take advice, to be charitable, to be considerate, to endure success, to keep on trying, to avoid mistakes, to forgive and forget, to make the most of little, to maintain a high standard, to shoulder a deserved blame. So, you know, you're stepping into the zone here today. You are being more Christ-like. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy and our joy here today by being like-minded, having the same love, being of a one accord and of one mind. Let us do nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves, and let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, it's like the good mornings here. That encouraged me. I needed to hear that, because sometimes I don't realize how good of a morning it is. We are blessed as a country. We are blessed as a nation. That's why we need to keep fighting for our liberties. And as the disciples had to fight for their lives today, I really believe that our country has turned its back on God. It did that many years ago. I asked my pastor this many years ago, about 40 years ago. He says, oh, we turned our back on God as a nation. Why? Because people weren't calling on the Lord. People weren't repenting. And we need to pray for revival in our country. We need it more than any time else now. The elections are coming up. It's not going to be the elections. I hate to say this to some people, but it's the truth. And sometimes you just got to tell it like it is. It is Christ and people, God's people repenting. Amen? That's going to be the open door that people will see the Spirit of God working and people getting saved, God's people, God's church repenting and getting things right. Unfortunately, what we've done in this country today, we got one foot in the church and we got one foot in the world, and that shouldn't be. So we need to work worthy of our calling, okay? And of course, it has the idea of our daily conduct. Calling God, Jesus, along to our side. So we need to be humble. And then, of course, We need to also be gentle. Gentleness is a kind of a useful, helpful, considerate, no matter what the circumstances are. It's not indifferent, harsh, unconcerned, or bitter. Gentleness is love with its work clothes on. And show and tell of God's love, helping someone on the job. You see somebody in need, try to help them. Try to do what you can to help them. If you can't, then you know what? Pray for them. Ask a way that you can help them. You know, never, if somebody wants to help you, never just say, no, I don't need you, but you know, maybe next time. But if there's a need right away, say, sure. They want to be your blessing. Don't rob their blessing from them. God wants to bless you. It works both ways. God is love. And showing our love, we should love God and love one another. The problem, I think, today in churches, including me, is there's not enough love going around. There isn't. Because we've bought into the idea of containment. We're containers. And we think that we're just contained in this life. But Christ, remember, he went into all walks of life. And remember, too, that goes for us even when we're getting older. You know, and you're never contained, you're never compartmentalized to a one area there. God can use you, and if you just ask upon him, remember, it said here also that to know the love of Christ in verse 19, chapter 3, which passes all knowledge. That is the knowledge by experience. God can do even more than we ever ask or think. It's so easy to get stuck in a rut, just to go back and forth. We need to break free of that and say, Lord, help me to be creative. Help me to go ahead and think outside the box. And yet, if we get too compartmentalized, then we don't grow. We don't go anywhere. And God cannot water us and help us to grow because we were made to grow. We were made to work in the Lord. And also we see here and walking in unity and our call that God has counted upon us to be worthy. It says with lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, to be patient. Could you imagine if you had a name named Noah and you lived upon this earth many years ago? Noah built a very big ark back in that day out of gopher wood. It's supposed to be lasting a long time, and they pitched it and they built it. It took 120 years. And also, can you imagine if you're a person named Noah? And you had your neighbors and people around that never seen a ship before in itself. It's like, what is that? You ever had the expression of, what's that? You know, they have no idea. They cannot comprehend. Some people need, as we see, that Noah's boat is like a picture of salvation. You know, Noah preached for 120 years about the repentance, turning to God. The Bible says, Jesus said, as it were in the days of the Son of Man, so it shall be with the days of Noah, days of Sodom and Gomorrah. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that there's patience in the Lord. And when times get bad and they're evil and there's so much confusion today, why? Because people turn their backs on God. A lot of people don't want to talk about it because it's so horrible. I can't, you know, in the past 10, 15 years, I've never seen so many leaders that believe in this woke. I think what happened was is they didn't wake up, they fell asleep, as it was in the days before, like it was in the days of Noah's. The forefathers, they fell asleep. That meant they went asleep on God. They were not awake. They were not sober. So there were characteristics. They didn't accept God's plan, but Noah did. They were grumbling and complaining and whining and bickering and just all kinds of things that you don't want to be around people like that, but they were like, no, why don't you spend your time doing something else? You know what God's called us to do? Something, we just do it. And that's what I love about God's people, being around God's people. It's not just that I'll pray about it or talk about it. I will do it. And people need to know the Lord. And then there was dangers and difficulties with Noah. And, you know, it's so easy for people to fall today. And I'm talking about also spiritually, but also physically. You know, life can happen like that. Life can be like a dime. You flip a dime around. It could be either heads or tails. You might end up on your tail, or you might end up on your head, right? And what happens is that you have people who go through life that, you know, sometimes they never get out of it. But you know what? If you have the Lord, like I said before, Jesus preached about what? The spiritual part of life. It wasn't necessarily about the physical part. Remember when he fed the 5,000? Then he fed another 4,000 people. People didn't get it. It's not about what comes in. It was what comes out that defiles a person. And Christ knew that spiritual perception, and he's saying, hey, you know, pay attention to the spiritual. Life goes on. Don't get caught up in the whirlwind of life, the everyday routine, because that can take you down or that can bring you back up. But he's saying the spiritual part is what you need to keep in focus. And we see it with lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love. It's amazing. Back a Grecian writer named Lucian, back in between 120 and 200 A.D., now he heard about Christians being martyred. He said this, and it amazed him about the fellowship with these people, and we should see that today, too. We do in our church. It is incredible, he said, to see the fervor with such people of that religion help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. Their first legislature, Jesus, has put it into their heads that they are brethren. So it's a love of show and tell. We see that today. If you have the love of Christ, you can't hold it down. You can't put it in a container. You got to go out. You got to tell people about the Lord, because time is running out for people. Either you do or you don't. Get on the boat or get off the boat. And then we see also that with long suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring, it's interesting, the word endeavoring, I looked it up, it's giving your due diligence. It's not easy. It's hard at times. Sometimes you just wake up and you're like, I got to go to work, right? You just get up and you just do it. You go through the routines, you go in the bathroom, get dressed, you get all your stuff together, you thought you had everything ready the night before, and you're out the door. And you get in the car and you're like, boy, I haven't even prayed yet. And you get in behind the steering wheel and you go down to work and you pray. And you're like, Lord, I'm trying to keep it all together, but I'm just so tired. I'm exhausted. But God gets you through the day. At the end of the day, come back and you relax, take your shower, eat your dinner, and then, you know, you relax a little bit, and, you know, as the day goes on. But you work at it. It takes work. And so it says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of bond of peace. You know, today the church, we see it today and say, you know, things look pretty peaceful. You know, I was out here the other day and I could barely hear anything. You know, during the week, you hear all the cars and the schools are going and people are racing back and forth. You go across the street, try to get the mail. You pray you don't get hit by a car because these cars are flopping over this hilltop over here. They don't mean anything. So I've done the same thing. I gotta slow down. The peace of God that can keep you and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. In Bangladesh, India, apparently the church over there is not having peace. Apparently what's going on is that you have the Muslim extremists who are trying to terrorize Christians. This was in the CBN News not long ago. They go around with swords and they're saying, repent to the Muslim religion. The poor Christians over there, if it's not the Hindus, then it's the Muslims. And what's going on is what they will do is they will get a can of spray paint, any color will do, and they'll put a sign of the cross right there on their house. Then they'll come knocking at your door, and they'll say, hey, we want you to repent or turn to Allah. It sounds Sounds like it does, like it did back in the day. People would not convert to the Muslim religion. We'll kill you. Okay? And they're the second fastest growing religion in the world too. As far as it goes with cults, it's the Mormons here in the United States is the fastest growing one. And what goes on, the Christian said, I had to flee. I had to run. I had to make sure I had everything I needed, my money, my wallet, my identification, my little black box. And he goes, I had to leave everything behind. He goes, thank God I didn't have a wife and family or even had animals. They would have killed everything. Said the reporter said, how did that happen? This is the modern day Bangladesh. Well, what goes on? You have what's called corruption. And then you have the teachers that teach. They can even go back to the early 70s when they started teaching to hate Christians. And they're no good. We either want, so you have one half dozen to the other. Either it's the Muslims or the Hindus. Well, then he said, well, what about the police? You know, you look at our colleges and universities, what they teach now is what's going to be our politicians today. Think about that. This is what we're reaping, what we're sowing back in the 60s and 70s. Makes sense? And I know a lot of you know that because you grew up then. You know what I'm talking about. And then you have the teachers, and then you have the police. And the police become corrupt. And they take bribes. And then they want to not upset people because they're afraid, like what happened down there in Mexico. A lot of the good police got killed because of you had the modern-day mob down there. You had those own people, you know, terrorizing people down there. So the church is not out of it. And yet here we are in the United States, and we have this peace. But is it the real peace? Is it the peace unctioned by the Holy Spirit settling in our lives? When you're persecuted, like the man says, you look for the peace of the Lord because they're going to get you. And so you got to go. And he left. He left everything behind. But it could happen here down the road. Don't put anything over on it. History repeats itself, or these people are doomed not to learn. And unfortunately, I think that's where we're heading toward in our country here. So we need to keep the bond, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And there is one body. One body. Now, you know, he's giving out some points here about keeping to walk worthy of our calling and our unity together. Romans chapter 12. Verse 5 says, we, though through many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You know, well, that's what I really appreciate the Lord, what he has done. We have things that have been set up around here. One, we've had lots of prayers. Two, we've had people, men and women, trying to make the place look nice. And, you know, what I'm trying to get at, this church is about 50 years old, right? Well, back there in the garage and downstairs, it's amazing what you can come up with. You have lots of old goodies in there, and I've been going through things, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is interesting. Back to 1974, you know, I found some paperwork, so I was like, interesting. Do you realize the prayers that everybody's been praying for this church will not go unanswered? Do you realize that God is answering prayer here today, even from the saints of many years ago when this church was established? And do you realize that God can put everything back together so we can get this church going again? It is already going. And, you know, taking bits and pieces from the past and putting it together and be creative for the glory of God. And, you know, it's amazing when God's people work together, what can get done. It's amazing if some people would just think, Lord, it can be done and you can do it. That's all it takes. And God can put it all together. And he can take everything from the past. What I'm not trying to say, Pastor, God works everything out together for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose, that for them that love him. Do you realize that God can take our past today and work it all out for his glory if we let him? Say, oh, what do you mean? My failures? My dismal days, things that I mess up? Yes, he can. If we just give him a chance, he can do it. He's done it in my life over and over again. I've seen it done in each one of your lives. God can take a broken down car and he can fix it back up again and use it for his glory. He can take broken lives. He can take broken kids. He can take a broken country like we are and turn it around. He is God, and we need to give him what is due to him. So there is this one body, and then we have this one spirit. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit that dwells within you. There is a what is called is an Artesian pump. And how that works is through water power. And I remember this one time being in Europe that through this Artesian power is powered by water. Water can power things like you see different ways of watering water does, like with the Hoover Dam and so on and so forth. But apparently there was a pump that I had seen in Europe, and it showed from a distance, it looked like a guy was just standing there pumping it, pumping the water. Well, it really wasn't a person. It was a pretend person. And through he had his hand on the handle, and he was pumping this pump. And it looked like somebody was working really hard pumping this pump all the time. You know, God can pump us. He can use us through the Holy Spirit. He can do that. All we have to do is put our hand on the handle, and God can keep on pumping us and keep on working on us, and he can do it, because there are days when we just feel like, you know, when I get home, I feel like just a little pin can pop me out, just deflate. Well, God can continue to get you going through the Holy Spirit. So you have here that we are one body, one spirit, one hope. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We need hope. There was a man in the Vietnam concentration, and those camps was just terrible, despicable. And he was there for 7 years, and he says, you know, they did all kinds of tortures to him. But he says the worst thing they could do is put me in isolation. He said, I had hope. I had hope, and I believed that God would get me out. And God actually did get him out after 7 years. But sometimes God puts us in predicaments, and life is full of tribulations and trials. God puts us through that. So we see also here in this verse continuing on here, that there is one body, one spirit, just for you were called into one hope, and your calling, and one Lord. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation, there is no other else, for there is none other name under heaven, which amongst men, why you must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. There's one Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we see here that, you know, we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. I remember a friend of mine, I remember growing up before I went to Bible college, I was busy at church. He was a carpenter. And he lived on the top floor, I lived on the bottom floor of this house. And he says, you know, why don't you come work with me? I said, yeah, I love to work. Okay, so he said, okay, why don't you do this? He goes, I will show you how to work the carpentry business. And I said, okay, great, I love to learn. So he says, like for nailing, for example, he says, you got to keep your eye on that nail. He says, don't keep your, a lot of people keep their eye on their hands, so they think they're going to hit that hand. Well, he went on, he says, let me show you. He was hitting the nail, and he accidentally, one of the nails, he hit his hand. And he got very upset, and he took that hammer, and he threw it down the ground. He had a temper, and the hammer went flying up and hit him in the head. And then he just went berserk. And I had to stand there. I almost started laughing to myself. I said, how foolish can we all be? if we don't control ourselves, if we don't keep ourselves under the ministering work of God and keep our eyes focused on Him, just the little things like a nail can cause problems for us. Sometimes life's littlest things can cause the biggest problems if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord. And then we see that there is going on here, one Lord, there's one faith. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, though I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." You know, there was a very bad situation that happened in our apartment complex Thursday night. The building that was next to us caught fire about 11:30 at night. There would have been a number of people who had died, as they were saying, if those people hadn't woken up early enough to get out. There are fire alarms here today. And what happened was is that I knew some of those neighbors there. And I knew some of their kids, and they knew who I am. And that night I got up, and there must have been about 20 fire trucks out there. It was huge. It was a big fire. It happened so quickly. And there was all kinds of rumors about how it could have gotten started. I'm not going to even get that onto that about online, of course. But my point is, when you have faith, you believe and you hope people get saved. And there are some people I was so close to leading to the Lord, so close. But now all those people are gone. What they had to do is they had to evacuate 8 apartments, 4 on one side, 4 on the other. And the fire was so hot, you know what destroyed a lot of things was smoke. That's why fire is a very dangerous thing. Spiritually, we're thinking about there's a lake of fire that people need to avoid. But then this was a physical fire, and this showed it at the Parkland Apartments. And so, you know, the people were there. And I felt so sorry because these people, some of these people lost everything. They had to relocate everybody in that apartment area, that building there. But what about my faith? What about your faith when you seem like you're working on something and you're contending for the faith? You're giving it everything you got and all of a sudden it's gone. Remember, God knows that too, and it didn't go away. You know, God's word never goes void. You know, we keep our faith. It continues on regardless of what you and I say. Because God has the bigger picture. He has a bigger plan. We just have to keep walking worthy of His calling, what He has called us to do. And so we see here then there's also the one faith. And there's one baptism. And as I'm getting ready here to close, you know, some of us were baptized as infants, infant baptism. It's not talking about that. That just gets you wet as a baby. That just tells the church that you're going to be going to walk with that church for the rest of your life. And that will save you. That's called baptism regeneration. That's heresy. That's wrong. Infant baptism does not get you to heaven. There's another baptism called in the Bible that once you are saved, it's called believer's baptism, that you believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You're buried with Him, and you're risen together with Him. It's an outward manifestation. So many churches today teach the other one, okay? But there was back in the day between when the Christians fought the Muslims, it says here that what whole armies would do, they weren't saved of the church, whether it was the Catholic Church or the one of these heretical churches, what they'd do, they would get a whole army together, okay? And they would say to them, okay, let's get together, and we're going to baptize you all. They'd find a lake somewhere, and they'd say, okay, you all are going to get baptized and next week in the war. And what happened was they'd all listen to the priest, they'd keep their armor. You know why? Because it was a holy war. And then what they would do is that they could fight and kill for Jesus, for Christianity, for their church. And what happens is you would have, they could go out and slaughter people because they were baptized in the Christian faith. That's the way it was when, especially at the height of the Moors War, which in other words, that was more of the Muslims fighting Christians. And, you know, so killing people was no problem. Just remember, don't misunderstand what it says in Exodus chapter 20. It says, thou shalt not kill. That has the idea of murdering somebody. And when, you know, family members of mine had to go out and shoot people, I remember in the Afghanistan war and Iraqi war, and some of you might have had been in the military, had to face the horrible experience. They had, that was a different kind of killing. Okay? And so, what Paul is trying to say here is he's saying we have one hope, what we're calling, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. It means he's, now we're working worthily of his calling, who is above all knowing and through all powerful and in you all, everywhere present. He is there with you all the time. To do what? All these things that he has called you to do. And so if you take time this week to look at Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 through 6, you should be able to think, Lord, am I doing these things? Just help me. Just take a quick 5 minutes, not even that. And think about it, meditate. Just sit down in a comfy chair and think, Lord, this is what I'm doing. This is what I should do. Okay, got it. Got it. Okay, so far so good. Lord, help me to remember. Help me to be a doer and not just a hearer only. And so we're going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And at this time, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you counted us as worthy to walk at this call. We thank you for the prayer for the church that we looked at last week. We thank you for the duty. We are duty bound to be obedient to our captain, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, many of us today have Bibles at home. But what Jesus is looking for is obedience. You can have all the Bibles you want, but Jesus wants obedience. And Lord, help us all to be more obedient. And help us, Lord, we thank you for the blood. Thank you for the word. We thank you for your spirit. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray, Lord, that by faith, through the Spirit of God, that you will give an unctioning through the Holy Spirit, will convict you, and that you will get saved for those who are online. And just thank you, Lord, that your word never goes void. We pray for those, Lord, that they will get saved, and our loved ones here today, ones that we've never given up on. And thank you that you never gave up on us. And thank you for the open door. Thank you that people need the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.